There's space, possibly.
Are you talking about the athletic one?
No. I'm talking about the use of the land out.
Oh, so. Yeah, just like you said.
Yeah.
It's beauty of it. It's not, I'm not making any, not much more of it. It's gone, so it's a wonderful resource. It's right here. I mean, but for class, it's in 47 minutes. You can't just get up and go somewhere else. You're going to screw up the whole schedule for the school, so it's nice to have it right there.
Anyone have a question for Grillam?
No. Danielle asked me specifically if she's getting grilled. There is no grilling, Danielle.
Thank you. Moving on. Presentation by coaching staff. This is you. Blake, we have as well.
Yeah, Blake.
Do you have any quick thoughts on soccer? What are the things that you're dealing with now? You've been here since the beginning.
My own personal, I wouldn't really call it an issue, but the way I see it is that I have no issue sharing the football field with the football team. We have been asking since I have played to even just use it for like parents' night or senior night because the speakers and stuff work better. We can play JV than varsity. I have no problem with that. My one weird thing about it is that if that is turf and our practice field is grass, we're always practicing on grass, and then we're still at the weird disadvantage of playing on turf when we don't practice on it. And I know that the football team wouldn't exactly be appreciative of us practicing on the game field just so it's not weird for us.
But one thing that I would say is the game field, whether you practice on it, will be ready. That practices, so PE, that's one of the advantages of a turf field. PE every day can go out. Baseball in the spring, softball, when it's too muddy to be on a field, they can be outside on turf doing those things. You could practice absolutely some of the time. Maybe you wouldn't have the whole field all of the time for practice. You might be practicing over here, so it wouldn't be. The kids would at least have the opportunity to practice on the field that they're going to play. So. Any others?
Yeah. And it's not, like I said, it's not a problem. I understand the benefits of doing everything. It's just the one thing that we currently struggle with when it comes to always practicing on our grass field and then going to the two or three schools randomly that we play against at first. It usually takes us a whole half to kind of figure our stuff out because we don't get the benefit of ever working on it. The closest we can get is randomly a day using the field house because it's the closest we can get to kind of that situation.
All right. You had a little bit of time to digest and weeks on the job almost.
This is might even be, and please don't throw me out of here for making this comment, but has homecoming always been football in Clintonville?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Could it morph into football, soccer, volleyball? I know this is a big debate at other schools because you and I have talked many times. Why can't we have senior night under the lights? Why can't we have a homecoming game under the lights? You know, and I said, because it's a football field, you know, and that has always been my answer. So, am I correct on that?
Yeah, I mean, the goalposts don't move. They're bolted into the ground, so, yeah. I mean, and like you said, soccer fields will not fit in that configuration. So, I mean, I I mean, I hear what you're saying. If you don't have the ability to, you know, if you have a grass soccer, field and go play on turf, but does that outweigh the ability to play under the lights with a big sound system, with a big stadium, you know, that atmosphere? I totally agree.
I was just saying, like, just from a playing perspective,
right.
It makes it a little awkward. But if there isn't going to be a problem with us being able to practice on the field, and it doesn't end up being a dedicated game field where we are catching slack trying to come out there like two times a week just to play on it, then obviously the soccer program has no issue with that being the outcome.
Mr. Taylor, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. When it comes to running track, obviously it's rubberized surfaces, that's the norm. Does pitch of the track matter? The size of the track? Does the ink? Does that matter?
No, I'm sure there's a standard out there. I don't know what the exact standard is. But I can tell every time I walk out on the track, it's a scale and I walk out there almost every day. All the rubber is just going right to the outside. You can scoop handfuls of stuff up. I'm glad that you see that the track needs to be the frost cracks that are expanding either by the way. You probably could not pull this. That will help the lifespan by repitching it. It will help the last.
And it is easier to run on a track that's pitch correctly.
And that's a decision we have to make as a community percent, because if we're not going with turf, then it's, the track is just getting done as it is, and there's no turf going in for the next lifespan of that track. We're not going to spend another $2-3 million repitching that. So it's also, it has to be a decision one way or the other. You know, I mean, because you're looking at so much extra money to spend to do that, you know. But
well, that's a good segue. And go ahead.
For you guys, is there an equipment or safety change? What I mean, they kind of alluded to the pad. So would we do that, and then with the cleats for football, soccer, whatever, would the athletes have to have special cleats just for this one, and then have one for the grass field kind of thing? Is there other things, concussions, like more of the bad side of things by going to this versus the grass, if that makes sense?
Cleats, you're not wearing the large cleats,
so would the athletes need a couple pairs of shoes?
You're playing football on another grass.
Just trying to look at the big picture, like, are we going to burden the athletes? Maybe they can only afford one pair of shoes.
When I played high school, I had those circular cleats, and we played out for both turf fields and volleyball.
Okay.
When we played that. Yeah, when we played Riffin when I was in high school, Riffin after, we were told we could not have metal tip cleats, so we did have to change out our cleats to a plastic tip.
And we currently play schools that have turf, so they already have that.
I know baseball, I think, played Southwest this last year, and baseball has a turf baseball field. Yeah, that was a whole wish list the next this too.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Anyone else for questions for the coaching staff? Otherwise, let's get on to finances.
Yeah, and Caleb and I, you know, kind of talked about this briefly. You know, obviously the simplest one would be to include it in a referendum question. The last referendum question that did not pass basically was to turf the football field. Okay, and I don't know if that was a positive or a negative, specifically saying the word turf. I don't know how the community perceived that, but they voted it down. I don't know if it was based on the turf. I don't know if it was based on the taxes. I came in after that kind of all was done, so I really don't know what the talk of the community was regarding that going down. When it comes to finances, there's a couple school districts that have been very savvy, okay? I have the first model in my office. Sean Leach gave it to me. You want to put a C grave in the end zone? It's going to cost you $50,000 a year. If you want to
put your name, you know, on the billboard, this and that. If you want to say turf was donated by that, if you want to say goalpost was donated by that, it's endless starting blocks. I mean, you can do all these different things, and they last X amount of years, and then you can cycle them out. So, yeah, there are other ways. What I was told by other superintendents is you almost have a pledge commitment. I will pledge X amount of dollars if you do this project, if you advertise for me in this way. And, you know, that $2.5 million can shrink really fast if you have some of the big contributors throw a couple $100,000 here or there. But if we don't want to do the pledging route, obviously the taxpayers could vote on it. One of the other things that I know we briefly talked about at the board, a meeting, agenda, finance as well, if we would go to referendum, you know, do you do a one question or do you do a two question like you did last time? So then if you ask for, let's just use that $4 million mark, I don't think the community is going to even come close to say, yeah, let's do a $20 million project over the next years. But if you throw this field on there and ask for, let's just say, 2.5 reoccurring, ooh, and that fails, now that's really going to hurt our operating part of it. So it's got to be very strategic on what we do and what we don't do. And that's why I think that putting out a survey is a must. Because the last thing we want to do is to have a referendum fail because the community didn't want to support a football field or X, Y, and Z. And now our fund balance is in jeopardy and we don't have money to pay our bills. You know, so that's why this is extremely important in strategy on how we move forward with this. The other thing that was brought up by one of the board members in conversation with me is, so Troy, you're going to, let's just pretend a referendum would go through and you're going to go for 3.0, okay? Are you going to bank the $1 million for 3 years until you have enough money to pay it? Or are you going to do the project right away and dip into your fund balance and then pay yourself back? You know, because the taxpayers are going to be like, hold on, I thought we were building the stadium that we voted for. Oh yeah, in 3 years we are. Mm-hmm. You know, what is that going to look like? So it's all these different types of scenarios of what we could or couldn't do and how we would portray that out in the public. And that would really, really matter. Any other ideas? Caleb, you've heard of any other stuff? I mean, I have a couple models in my office.
Pledging is all I heard. I've been telling those streaming about them as well. I've been like, all around,
and I mean, we paid for our scoreboards and things through Enterhex. They get their name on this, and they, because these scoreboards are $100,000 items. But they are. Plus. And that was all through local donations of businesses.
All the tiles on the walls, I know, I think Powell donated a lot of the part of it, but that was most of that was all donations. So, you know, I got maybe more than 20 times, and we asked the same people for donations before they say.
That's why we want to make this available. I mean, that's the goal is we can do this and cut taxes so everyone benefits.
Well, yeah,
that's the goal.
Can we extend that to Shano and other places that might?
They're supporting their own community. I get what you're going to
say. You can always look. You can always ask.
I mean, I bet you any money if you ask the coffers, that you still own Timco, or they own Timco, I think,
A good one is Marion Bodywork. Marion Bodywork has done really good relationship with us because we have produced multiple employees, you know, and they're well aware. And to be clear, when it comes to the budget part of this, we currently are not putting money aside to fix the traffic. Just so you guys are all aware, that is not in our budget right now. Currently, we have $200,000 for general maintenance. We are not putting any money aside to fix the track. But just so everybody's aware of that. And maybe we need to start doing that, etc.
Well, here's the other thing that I know too. You gotta remember, you do have some people that do live in Shawnee County that come to this place. So Shawnee should be part of that donation side too, for us being.
Worth asking the question.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, because
that will be
yards off of the.
So I think we're at the point where they kind of presented. Obviously, I have had a lot more background conversations. The last thing I want is to be labeled as Troy's project. So, got that, Bert Lehman? You're not putting that in the Troy's project. Okay. I have brought all the people to be in front of you to present whatever they want to present, you know. But I think the board has basically given the directive, we need to narrow this scope and figure out what we're doing. So,
all right. If you can remember back to the, we're starting with the athletic facilities and improvements. First blush ideas from people. There was phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four, phase five. I think the idea of the baseball field is pretty much out, which is phase two, I think, and the softball field changes. What we're down to is whether we want to turf and expand the current track and repair the track. The track needs to be done. If you're doing it, this is the time to turf it. And does anyone here support that or not support it?
I think it would be a good idea to do the turf on something. Because it does lower concussions, traumatic brain injuries, and then sitting and hitting your head on the ground, believe me. It's been proven as a clear fact.
Anyone else have a first blush idea on any of the? We'll start with the track as a small, the track and turf. Anyone say crazy?
It needs to get done, and if it's going to get done, it should be done correctly. But or else we're going to be doing the same thing a few years down the road, and then a few years down the road, and then a few years down the road.
And I'll throw out there too, the football field as itself right now is 20 years old. You're probably looking within next 10-ish years, you're probably going to have to rebuild that football field. It has to be re-crowned, it has to be reseeded. I mean, they have a life expectancy as well.
Fertilizers, water,
I'm saying there is that to factor in as well, too. You know, football fields don't stay up forever. So they have to be re-crowned, rebuilt, reseeded.
You spend a lot of money on the equipment.
No, there will be some, they say now, I mean, there is some maintenance to a turf field. I've talked to direct, there is a sanitizing process. There's a top dressing usually that happens once a year to re-level the media that holds it down. I do know they said in that, the last time we talked, that a lot of that equipment that would be included with the price of that, so we would have the equipment to do that. But yeah, we're not out there painting lines, you're not fertilizing, you're not aerating, you're not cutting it. Right now, twice a week, to get ready for prep. So there is, you know, and to me, I like the ability that soccer and football can use it as this is our complex. You know, this is what we have to offer. I think soccer, in a way, gets short end of the stick as far as what they play. and here's some portable bleachers for you, and
yeah.
You know, and those are what kids are getting sports and are getting into. You know.
Additionally, how many hours a year does the football field currently get versus how many hours would be available. So how many games, how many games, football games, and if there's no practicing done on the football field currently. Mm-hmm. It is
just
a game field.
Kicked off and
Thursdays. Usually yeah. Thursdays is the walkthrough. We try to keep Fayette off of it as much as we can, especially when it's dry out. And then Dan comes out, I think, once in a great while, and they'll practice on it. But, yeah, otherwise we got to try to keep traffic off, otherwise you lose it.
So let's just pretend there's 10 teams in the conference. You have 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. And half of those games would be away. So that would be 40 divided by 2, roughly 20 nights. 20 to 30 nights a year that field is used.
For a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Whereas if it would be a turf option, it would be hundreds of hours.
We can be hosting regionals and sectionals.
I was thinking the same thing, Caleb.
Special track meets.
Yes.
Neutral side fields for other games. For third field, I can host the audience if you will.
So there's lots of people who are pro. Are there anybody here who said, gosh, this is crazy? Why would we spend $2.5 million to put carpeting on a field? Does anyone feel that?
The only thing, I don't know if it makes it easier for people to understand, we have, like, if we make the turf decision, we're making it financially, because if we don't, we just do what we're doing now, we are married to a grass field. I mean, I don't know if that's easier for people to understand. That's why we're both leaning towards the turf, because that's the way things are going, and, you know, I mean, we have to make the decision now. It's not, we can put the, let's resurface the track, rebuild it for $500,000,
Okay, so collectively here, after a presentation, people feel generally positive toward a turf field and that. Do any of the other options that were brought up, baseball, pickleball room, no, do any of those appeal? Those could also be, since it is scalable, you know, it can be down the road.
Well, I could see, Ben, if we lose the contract with the city to do a baseball field, but otherwise...
Yeah, so if you asked me a year ago, I would say, hey, we need to do something with that baseball field. I think I've had enough discussions with Kaz and Justin McCauley and the team down there that even the Dornicks and all of them, that we should be pretty set to go for the future the way they've upgraded that. And it's a good venue. I mean, everybody drives by, everybody sees it. However, I did get a phone call that they're hosting like a big Little League tournament or something next year, and they want to use our field for them to practice on and do this. And I mean, by the way, I'm surprising you right now. And my brain originally went to go, is it safe? Because our grass infield is not good. It's not good. So one of the questions I was going to ask Rettler is, what if we tore out the grass infield and made it all dirt and then made it softball baseball? All you got to do is move the bases. Just pull the plugs out and move it somewhere else. You know, because then it could double a dual purpose. The softball diamond right now, I mean, the dugout blew over. I mean, what else is...
To be blunt, they're in rough shape because they don't get used. I'm being completely honest with you guys. Both of those facilities do not get used. Yeah. And they just sit there, my team, we spray the field and we work them up as best as we can, but because they're not being used, weeds take over. And quite frankly, I don't think it's fiscally responsible to stick a bunch of money into something that's not being used. Yeah. So, Yes, you are correct. Play football, we put three fields in the outfield for another game.
It's super convenient walking all of those little kids over to the baseball field.
Part of the backside story to that is I hear a lot of, I won't say complaints, but they don't like walking that far to the baseball or the softball complex from the high school. So I know we've spot with PE a little bit on the softball complex, and I've heard a lot of it's just too far to walk. Well, that is what it is. It is far, but that might be one of the reasons why towards the end of last year we had a lot of people starting to use the football facility as a softball diamond. And that didn't sit real great with me. But yeah, they're just not being used. We had the east side dugout blew over in a windstorm. We basically cleaned it all up. There's the block there. We put a bench on there for kids to sit on if they want to sit on it. But I think summer school used the softball diamond a little bit for summer school, but otherwise baseball diamond has not been touched.
So, and there's safety issues, the fencing.
The backstop fencing, I did notice the main posts that hold the big box backstop up. Frost has raised those posts probably a good foot out of the ground, so the whole structure is being basically pushed out of the ground.
And that's 20, 25 years as well.
Yeah, they're old, yeah. I mean, and, you know, to Troy's point, Olin Park is a great field. It's one of the best playing areas in the area. And Buchholz Park has a really nice softball venue. So I see why softball goes there and practices and plays. I mean, they're nice venues. So, but, that's the thing. We're going to stick a bunch of money into softball baseball, then we're using them.
So this is part of the process that we as a group are trying to winnow down the things that are just like, no, we don't even have to go, we don't even have to put this on a survey. Is anyone feel strongly that we should spend, what was it, $1.8 million to renovate a baseball and softball field? No. I think we can safely say that portion can go away.
I think I still would like to explore what would it cost to redo that fence, and what would it cost to fix the infield. I think I need to.
Because
it's just enough for a practice field.
Yeah. The other side of that is, like when I was in school, varsity practice downtown because we had 30 guys out for baseball, right? We varsity practice downtown. JV would play JV games, and we would practice at the JV field here at the high school. Well, we haven't had those numbers in 4 or 5 years. I mean, you're lucky you have 15, 16 guys show up for baseball. So if you all of a sudden get an uptick in guys going out for baseball, you might be another diamond. I mean, because you're going to have a JV team, and but
it would be a good problem to have.
It would be a good problem to have. But like I said, to totally get rid of the baseball, then you don't have that option. But if you do, make it a multi-purpose softball baseball.
Is there an option B where you don't have baseball and softball, but we could repurpose it for something rather than say we haven't used it in years, we're just going to do nothing with it? Seems like a lot of area, real close.
I was going to say something similar. Like the baseball is a great giant venue. What if we would do something dual purpose to make it playable and do what you said? Remove the softball field and put it into something else.
Solar.
Too soon.
Just so you know, I told both of them they're lucky they even have the opportunity to present after what I went through my first year as superintendent with the solar project.
All right. On to the next.
Have to address Drew's question though. Is there any? What are just people's thoughts on that?
This is the time to spitball, people.
Girl, is that where you want your orchard?
I don't know, but it needs to be used for something. Because it's just open space and it's just wasted. So I think something needs to be done with it. What? I don't know, but yeah.
I think you mentioned a garden. Could a garden in the outfield be an option? And then if baseball comes back around, is that a big deal for the following year?
Or we could do that in the softball area and leave the baseball area out for a dual-purpose softball-baseball complex going forward.
I was just trying to think of the things you were suggesting, like some of those might be, probably not the orchard because that's a permanent thing,
yeah,
you said,
yeah,
right?
You guys have a lot of open space in the east of the school building.
East, where it says other one and all that.
To the left of other one.
Yeah.
That's.
I know that we have to be a little bit careful because is that considered a drainage area?
Well, and additionally, if you see those kind of green things up at the top,
yeah,
right underneath Eggfield Tomb, that is where the wells for the middle school geothermal.
So this is
there's 140
geothermal right here.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah, right.
This is
the geothermal.
You've got areas south of there along the driveway. Right,
yes.
Right in there. Plant something. About, we talked about orchard or gardens.
Mm-hmm.
That play your room for something like that. And it's not, it wouldn't interfere with any of your baseball or other things.
And easy access for school, for
yeah.
Hey, first grade class, we're going to go see what an apple tree looks like and an apple tree bloom, you know?
Sure.
And I don't want to speak for FIA either, but the other thing is, I don't think you can get rid of baseball and softball facilities. I think you have to keep one of them because you do have FIA that runs units of softball and, you know, that sort of stuff. So I think you still need to keep one of them, one of those fields, but the baseball field makes much more sense because it is closer, and I think it's built a little better than the softball field. But.
So short answer is we may need to do some improvements, fix the backstop, have dugouts that don't blow over. Yeah, fine.
But the infield specifically really needs to work.
Okay. So there may be some,
yep.
But those are more manageable costs. Those,
yeah,
those don't start with millions.
No.
They start with tens of thousands.
Probably around, I think with, I talked to some people around 50,000, I think,
okay,
for a refurbish.
For a refurbish,
yeah,
of just the infield.
No.
Yeah,
we're
okay.
Long jump pits and high jump pits, or pole vault pit, parts grade one or two.
So the long jump and high jump pits, and Todd, you jump in. What the issue with those are right now is the fence and the spectator viewing around that. So minimal, we can keep them where they are, but we really need to redo the landing pits. So when we originally looked at doing this, we looked at putting the long jump pits and high jump pits right here, and we also looked at putting them on an angle right here. But then we went back and said, this is good. We just need to redo the fencing. The fencing is horrible for viewers. Todd, would you agree?
No, that's good.
Yeah.
You got it. It needs to be pushed away a little bit.
Yeah.
I talked with the former athletic director on that one.
Yeah.
Good. Anyone else have any comments? So what we didn't get to is the... What was it, six, where you have the additional building where in the tennis court area there, parking lots.
We have tennis clubs starting. Right now, New London always reaches out to us every year. They rent our tennis courts to host a meet here. New London, for some reason, they have so many tennis players, they have a varsity and a JV team. So they use our tennis courts to host their events. FIAD uses it. I believe, is it the first tennis court isn't playable anymore? Sort of six, we have five really good ones. Or I should say really good, playable.
They're playable.
Okay.
For now.
Yes, for now. Okay.
And that will be something that will need to be put in your maintenance budget, which we have been skimping on for years, if you wish to continue to have a tennis court.
Because I have a feeling it's going to be a resurfacing of the entire court.
And to be clear, the whole addition to the rec center, I you can publish this. This was Troy's idea. Because I've met with Kaz, I've met with Michelle, and we really are trying to focus on what can we do for kids who don't have their driver's license. You know, we really talked about that. Right now, they honestly go to the weight room, and I'm in the weight room with the majority of the middle schoolers after school. You know, and I'm glad that they're in the weight room than doing something in the community, you know, getting in trouble or doing X, Y, and Z. So we toured multiple YMCAs, we toured multiple boys and girls clubs, and yeah, we don't have Bergstrom Automotive that's going to build us a $50 million new boys and girls club. That's not here in Claytonville. But you know, some of the things that we saw where they were hosting robotics clubs for the community and all these really cool things at the Boys and Girls Club, you know, my brain just went to back Plymouth, where I grew up, had a mini youth center, and it was so simple. A ping pong table, an air hockey table, a smoothie, healthy smoothie bar, and it was a half-court basketball, and that's where all of us middle schoolers would hang out until the varsity football game that night, or until the basketball game that night, because we weren't allowed to go to high school. They would kick us away. So that's kind of where that went, and then my brain went to, okay, can we make the pickleball club happy? Can we possibly rent it out, put a giant kitchen in and rent that out? I mean, how convenient would that be to have a birthday party there with a full kitchen, and then the kids can run around, you know, and play basketball and all that? I think it's great, but for a $3 million price tag, taxes would not go down. They're not going down then. Yeah, they would go up.
Would that building solve the wrestling issue?
So the thought would be then the pickleballers would have that exclusively. Wrestling would possibly move into the rec center gym.
Okay.
I was not here for the referendum, so I don't want to speak for people, you know, but I was told, and maybe some of you that have been here for a while, that that rec center gym was to be the high school's if it was needed. But the current board has decided, yep, but we also need to respect the space of the community because the community pays to use that rec center. That's why we moved wrestling into the giant classroom. So would it solve it? Well, if you want to have wrestling mats on a carousel and all that kind of stuff, you need a big space to do that. Yeah. Yeah. And I know moving wrestling over to the elementary school, we don't have locker rooms there anymore. You know, that type of stuff is all. Yeah. I don't think you want the wrestling locker room to be downstairs in your maintenance area, right?
No, don't go ahead and shower. Yeah.
So, does anyone have any further ideas about the athletics as presented tonight? This was presented to the board, these numbers, these ideas, a couple of months ago or a couple of board meetings ago. So we as a board have seen these, but probably much of the community, including you, have not. Is there anything that sticks out that you'd like to comment on? Yeah.
I just want to point out the fact that keeping the baseball field, the 1.8 million, was only if they added the extra tiny concession stand and bathrooms and the press box. If you just fix the infield and all the other stuff, I don't think it's going to come nearly as much.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which makes that a lot easier to push as an additional couple hundred thousand in terms of.
I bet you it wouldn't even hit 100,000 to redo that fence in the infield. Yeah.
But with that, I think I would include the access down to the baseball field. So the paving.
The paving down.
The concrete paving down to that facility.
And then maybe some additional fencing around the jumping pits.
Does soccer, when you guys practice, do you need a full field for practice, or is a half field adequate?
It depends on what we're doing. Because the last couple of years we've had roughly like 25 kids, so we have the ability to play full fields, equalize the space if needed, but a lot of the time we can use half the field. Like we have that little push-in net that we have leaning up against the tennis courts right now that we'll put at half field a lot of the time. I
know a lot of different complexes do have smaller fields for practice. I know when I had to play, our practice field was that patch of grass on the side of the tennis courts. Is where we would practice a lot of the time. And if we had to use the full field, we would go to the game field if we needed to use the full size of things.
So one of the things that Rettler and I talked about is redoing the stadium entrance, and particularly talking about senior citizen and veteran parking. Okay? So the reason why I'm asking that is if we would put a parking lot right here, then the stadium entrance would be right there. Would a half of a field be adequate for soccer practice or football practice right here? Because then you could have all handicapped senior citizen parking here, have your main entrance for all the other parking come here, and then the stadium entrance would be right here instead of right here.
So you take the gate out, make that less of a problem.
Correct. The gate would actually be right here. We have talked about that. But I don't know what the cost of just the parking
now,
lot.
Now, was the parking lot and district got moved there part of one?
That was one. So that was the $5 million.
Oh, that was the $5 million. Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know how much that parking lot would cost. I'm guessing $300,000, something like that, just to put that parking lot here. Half a million, you think?
At least.
And then that's a commitment, too. You know, and my worry is back to your statement is, even if we go at turf, do we still have enough green space for practice?
Well,
like, who's
still
at
the whole front of the school?
Yeah, what was that like?
Oh, it's just, like, the whole front of the school is still being used for practice.
So you guys could move your practice in the event, let's just pretend this gets a half parking lot, you would move practice over here.
Back or in front of the school?
Like yeah.
That's where we have
that's where
practice.
That's where practice is. Yeah.
Okay.
So we just, for the most part, practice on the JV field, except if we're working on something specific or trying to stay out of the way of something.
Are there any issues with softball and baseball playing elsewhere?
Well, there's the issue of transporting kids from the high school there. Most of them drive themselves in the high school, but then you're riding with, you know, the freshman camp, and so transportation is the biggest. But I mean, it's been, they've been playing high school ball down there since before I was born. So that's a long time.
So we're putting a parking lot with a softball field that's on there and making baseball into a turf softball baseball combined. Baseball, not idea of it. The parking lot has to be within a certain distance of bathroom facilities.
300. It has to be within 300 feet of bathrooms and seating, I believe.
Yeah. Well, so what I was just saying, half that large soccer field we made into a parking lot and spend down to the left. If you got it for baseball and softball, you might as well go with the amped up concession stand there for the bathrooms.
Oh,
and then you put the main gates of the soccer and football field there as well. Just a wild spitball we're out there doing.
So what we're trying to do is limit.
No, this is spitball, and this is the time for it. This is the time for it, absolutely. So, I think that will end our discussion on
yeah, I have one question. It has nothing to do with anything on your agenda, but there's in the lower left corner of that is an other two, which is some trees that were planted with the Pigeon Lake District.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove the tractor, and only because that's what I remember about it. And nothing has been done to those trees for 20 years. Something needs to be done, though.
Greg told me that the new succession coming from the neighboring properties are actually going up there and destroying the trees that were planted. Has he told you that?
What is destroying the trees?
The succession of new species.
Well, that could be.
In that area is overtaking the original trees that were planted. So he said that either we need to make a commitment of restoring it the way it was, or just let secession take its place and do its thing. Yeah. And that was, Kirik and I have talked about that multiple times.
A D10 caterpillar.
That would work too.
And start over.
Yes.
It would probably be the best thing to do.
We're trying to limit that.
There's some hard, there's some hard news we're putting in there. And some fine screws, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that can make the orchard.
That fits in perfectly with the orchard. Yeah, absolutely. We got to clean up that area, and yeah. On to discussion of land improvements. I don't know what you had in mind on this.
So, what? I don't know how to put this. I'm trying to put my words together. Okay. Land improvements. I think, you know, you were alluding to, Mr. Engel, in your one comment regarding if we make long-term commitments, we have to stick with them. So, you know, there was discussion in one of your sheets. You know, there was a discussion of doing an amphitheater. There was a discussion of doing an outdoor learning pavilion. There was discussion of doing, you know, a bunch of different things. Is anybody, like, dead set? I mean, Troy's opinion would be, I would love to have an outdoor learning center back there or a mini amphitheater. It would be so cool to bring kids back there and do that. But, again, that would be a huge undertaking. The one we're looking at putting at the elementary, when you add concrete and you add everything, 32 by 32, you're right around $45,000. Okay, so just for costing. But is anybody dead set on we need to do X, Y, and Z behind that middle school, high school? That was my thoughts.
Okay.
And then including a lot of people that I've talked to said, Troy, if you can pull any weight, do not let anybody sell that outdoor lab in school for us because we'll never get it back. Okay? But again, that's not my decision. So if there is consideration of selling that outdoor lab school for us, to build a new school for us is going to take 20 years. Okay? Yeah, if not more. So do we put a plan together to say, yeah, we want an on-site school for us, even though we have the other one over there, let's do something with that to build our own forest. That's where I was going with this, based on all my mini conversations.
And, you know, when you look at the full edge over here, we have some trees. And then when you go up there, where Experiment is up there, there is the forest. So we do have some trees.
We have,
you know, there are fewer forests than there are scrublands. A lot of biology can be done in these. There is, right where Hubs sits there, there is a natural amphitheater, which, if we could, you know, put a few, I don't know, I think, put a few posts in, lay down a 2x12, and you got yourself a step. That may not cut it with liability insurers, but but I think something like that. Wouldn't it be cool if you go up over the hill and you get down where that is, and you're it's a pretty steep spot there. Wouldn't it be cool that the kids get away and suddenly they're in a place where they can't see any other human activity. And most kids today don't get that very often.
It's dry now?
Yeah.
Okay.
That end is high.
Okay. Yeah.
This, as you go further east,
it's all dry in
there. It gets low.
That's what I'm wondering about.
It's really weird. At one time, this pond comes here, and then it kind of dries up, and then it gets extremely wet right here. Yeah, it's kind of interesting how they pump it out.
I think there should be a learning lab back there, just so like the AV department does have somewhere to go.
And the science department
out there.
And
And then even elementary school could come over and
spend a few hours or an hour.
Learn about the pond back there. The ecology and ponds are interesting.
That's what you.
Paul, when it comes to the A field one and A field two, would you need all of that land to do your test food plots and do your education, you and Danielle? I mean, I'm just throwing this out there. I know you have big tractors and big equipment, but for the sake of conversation, could you carve out a square right here, do your test food plots, and could we develop this area and A field two into something else? I'm just asking you to know the answer better than anybody.
I think A field one kind of needs to stay together. Because even with the plot that we have in now, the turnarounds around that take up considerable more area.
Otherwise, we're talking compact tractors, rototillers.
Right.
Fine.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, if there's something to be sacrificed out of that from my standpoint, I guess A field two. But there again, if you're looking at community gardens or something, you know, maybe that's an area.
And I think back to Jim's point that right along the east side, no,
over here.
Oh, yeah, right in there are some areas that could yeah. be those types of more community involvement. Being able to be seen as people drop off their kids. So there's some advantages. And we do have, if we have some softball area that we want to, we've got big areas of green that we're not using to take it out of an operating ag field. But I don't think
can I speak for you right now? Are you okay with that?
He'll tell you after.
Yeah. So, Stephen and I have talked. It would have been great to put in the grapevines. It would have been great to do an apple orchard. The phone call I got the other day, can I please put in a flower garden next to Citgo on your property? I would love to do that stuff. But I think we would all get the people to initially do it. Who's going to upkeep it? And this is where I'm going to speak from Stephen.
Not us. Well, I even speak from someone that I talked to about this, and he's like, I can take you to every orchard that was put in the district or garden, whatever the case may be, that they lasted for about a year, 2 years, and then they got turned into weeds and we killed them under. Because that's like it's happened before. They last for about a year, 2 years, and then people, just for the lack of not caring anymore, it grows over.
And I am not a farmer, but I haven't. Mini apple orchard at my deer farm. You know, you and I have talked about, are you going to teach pruning? Are kids going to be able to go on ladders? Or is that going to be, who's going to do all of that in 5-10 years? You know, those are all considerations that we have to think of as well.
The one thing, and you guys can call me I'm strange or whatever, thinking like 25 years out from now, would A field one, because if that land was purchased, is there a possibility that, oh, guess what? We need a new elementary school. Where is the elementary school going to go? I mean, yeah, we did a renovation on that school, but the majority of the school is still 1955, 1956 is built. So if you develop that field, are you landlocking yourself from possibly building a future elementary school? I'm just throwing that out there. I'm looking way down the line, but that facility, majority of that facility is maybe built in the 50s.
So in 25 years, it'll be 95 years old.
Yeah. With 95-year-old plumbing running through a majority of it. So, I mean, you know, I thought part of the purchasing of this land was also foreseeing the future development of a possible new elementary school. You know, things that, because it's probably be cheaper to build something and tear that whole facility down, level it, restart. I just throwing that out there. You know, that's one of those things that's like, it's like if you put a solar field in there, you're under a 30-year contract. You know, that's
Well, that is the next item.
Well, I'm just,
we'll
yeah,
talk about
but, but if you plant it in trees, that, you know, trees can always be touched, I guess, but that's kind of
yeah. Is anybody here, I'm segueing it, is anybody here wanting to sell that school forest? Okay.
So just to be the devil's advocate, because I hear both sides, we don't use it. We could get hundreds of thousands of dollars for it. What are we doing it for? I see some shaking of the heads.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. No one is advocating from here, at least this group. Good.
If
all right.
You notice the history on that forest thing, it was 1960-something it was filling it?
Yeah, in the 60s.
And it was planted and everything by original people that...
Yeah. It was a large group of,
of
community.
If you go on the website into the Board of Education folder in the communities, I literally have all the reports in there.
Yeah.
Everything that I found.
For the school to get rid of it, it'd be a shame because it was gifted.
And it does truly cost the district $0.
And we honestly get kids to work in the summer.
And all of that work is
paid for
by the
timber that was cut from the forest.
Yep. So.
So
you know, Ben, honestly,
the self-stained.
And I was a big proponent of keeping.
Yeah.
But if we were able to sell it for X number of thousands of dollars.
Okay. Sure.
And if there was some land available adjacent to the land that we have that we could repurpose into the same things that we could do at the outdoor lab, then it might make sense to do that. But that isn't the case.
Mm-hmm. So let's say above egg three, I think that is, and hub that next spot. Let's say that came for sale. Then you might say, Then you might look at that. Okay. Well, that's a good perspective.
Because you'd have the same purpose, only you'd have it 7 miles
much closer.
Yeah.
So, my question then is, will people be? Because I don't think we can develop both areas. I mean, the school forest and here. I mean, you want to put an outdoor, you know, like an amphitheater and stuff. So you're spending money here. So people are going to be upset because they're not spending money at the school forest, and that's just really sitting there. Because we're not. I don't know how you develop both things.
I agree. I think to expend money at the school forest, it would not be wise at this time. To sell it. Once it's gone, it ain't never coming back.
Right. So, I mean, we just have to understand that the school forest is what it is right now.
Yeah, and there may be some opportunities for some classes to do that. And the other thing is if it comes to the point where we really have gone for 30 years with nobody doing anything with it, maybe then you consider it.
Yes. I just want to make a comment here. That's why I'm here. I was at the last two board meetings. You know why I'm here. I just wanted to come and thank the board for making a motion, seconding, and voting to keep it the same. It does not cost the taxpayer $1 to keep that property. They do not make any more land. And it's like a insurance policy that you have in your pocket that could benefit the school district down the road. We don't have to look at it right now, but down the road. But one thing is, you're going to leave the hunting the same. Now, where do I get the information for that? Troy?
Yep, I'm working on that.
I'm
in the lawyer's
to that
hands right now. It's in the lawyer's hands right now, and as soon as I get that agreement, I'm calling everybody.
Okay.
Yep.
So I've got a question for that. Okay. Now, okay. You have the list from the last people that were hunting them. Now, does that include people that are in the school district, out of the school district, or what? Now, that's a big question here.
So, I believe the motion was Clintonville taxpayers have access to hunt the land. Clintonville school district taxpayers.
You know, I now that you say that,
I'm bringing that
up. If I'm a renter in Clinton Mill, I don't pay school taxes in Clinton Mill. Does that exclude me?
I'm just telling you what the motion was.
I thought of that about 2 o'clock in the morning.
This is what I literally do. Okay? What I literally do is on a website, it says DPI mapping of districts, and I type in the address, and it puts a dot on the map, and it says what school district you're in. That's what I was going to do.
Okay,
I got one question here. Okay, I know that there's been several people that hunted out there. They're not in the school district. Now, will they be eligible to hunt out there?
I think that would be a blue sheet at the next board meeting and asking that question.
Now, that's up to them to do that.
Yeah.
Because I am in the school district.
I'm well aware.
I know where I'm coming from.
I know exactly where you're coming from.
Is there a difference between taxpayers in the district as opposed to maybe not living in the district?
I didn't make the motion.
Landowners.
I
don't know if I'm going to be here for that, but that's just something that.
Yeah, that thought had crossed my mind as well. I don't have an answer. So last one on this would be the discussion of the solar field. Who is in favor of the solar field as presented? Okay. Recommendations to the Board of Education. No one seemed to have
I'm
any.
I'm worried about where my dot is right
okay.
now.
Okay.
Is it for recommendations to the board about the finance committee?
Well, no. This would be recommendations that this committee, on the discussions that we've had this evening, on all the agenda points. So we can go. We'll just start at number one, because utilities came first with the solar project. The idea would be to not go. The recommendation for here would be no one was in favor of going forward with the solar project. Is that fair? Okay. Presentation of the teaching staff. Is there anything that you want us to bring to the whole board other than many of the things that you've already talked about? And we can bring those up. But, yeah, just those small portions. Presentation by the coaching staff. We can have a little bit of discussion on how the athletic people thought about the fields. Finances for land use improvements, that I'll leave to Troy when we get there. And then when we go to the last discussion of athletic field facilities, can I say the majority of us support or don't support that partial phase one, which included track resurfacing and widening the field and turf.
And to be clear, that doesn't mean we're doing it. We would probably include it on a survey.
Oh, yeah, none of this. The votes this evening are not. These are just things to advise the board on. So would someone say that? I'll ask it. Who here favors the phase one, the smaller phase one, which is basically the football field and the track?
The athletic field.
Yeah, well, there's the difference.
Yes.
That's literally the difference. Who would favor an athletic complex just that? Yeah, the turf. So we've got a vast majority, I would say, at this point.
Can I clarify something?
Sure.
I would be 100% on board with that if there was, to your point, longer-term planning. How does that fit into the major, overall picture, if that makes sense? I think that would be... I feel a lot better about it because, hey, we're going to do this and it's going to save us all this money, which will open up in 5 to 10 years for whatever that looks like. And kind of to your point, Stephen.
Is anybody in favor of just doing the track and not touching anything else?
One, you find your people.
Just asking the question.
Well, I'm just saying it's, if you do the track, you're locked in for so long that with the field then, it being grass again, and then you gotta wait till, see, how long does a track usually last?
Well, that one's 20 years old.
Yeah, so now 20 years, you're locked into grass.
I mean, it was asphalt or blacktop.
And honestly, the prices aren't going down anytime soon for anything.
Okay, so we've got the small portion of Athletic Stadium. I would say that we can safely say that I should report to the board that this committee generally overwhelmingly felt that that was a good idea. Okay. Any of the other things of the Taj Mahal that you would like the board to have? Hey, I also think that the JV soccer field should be turf. Or any of the other, anybody in favor of any of those?
I like the idea of the baseball field being converted to baseball softball.
Okay.
I think that does have to be addressed. Yep.
All right. Excellent.
I like the idea of, what was that, number six, the parking lot, the ADA parking lot?
And
being in that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, go back. Baseball, softball. Is anyone opposed to looking at that or recommending that we look at that?
I think maybe other things too, but I worry about people saying, oh, now you're doing sports, athletic skills, and then you want to go to a referendum because you don't have money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is where you're spending the money. Yeah. So you just have to be very careful on how you present it. Yeah. Are you going to present it and say, that this may be part of a survey, or this may be part of a referendum question.
Can you keep it very broad? Doesn't athletic improvements?
Yeah. These are the questions that we are here to winnow down, literally.
And maybe put in there, like I think you said, Troy, you might not do it right away, but down, save the money, and then do it maybe 2, 3, 4 years.
From the referendum. I'm going to caution that because the last thing we would want to do is collect money from taxpayers without a purpose. Okay. And then all of a sudden do a project and be like, oh, that's why you don't get our taxes for the last 3 years. So I would be very cautious on
that.
So. But even when you come out and say it's like a wish list or
And maybe the baseball field, softball field combination is not a want.
How about
it's really a need.
On cost.
Because yeah. All right. Any specific land use items that you would like to include to recommend to the board? Keep the ag fields as they are.
Mm-hmm. 3 year or 5 year contract with that?
It was a 5 year contract. Okay.
The only thing I would like to see though is if we're using that for classes down there, I think we should include a learning center down there.
All right.
Because what happens if it rains or something weather related, you know? Instead of running all the way back up here, at least they can be in some shelter. I'm not saying like a big building, just a pole shed even.
Okay.
So there is some support for an outdoor lab shelter.
Yeah.
Do I see some nodding of the head from that? Okay.
And then I really want clarification on the apple orchards and community gardens and butterfly gardens, because I'm going to get phone calls again after tonight's meeting for you guys talk about this.
All right.
So, I mean, again, the original proposal back in the day, maybe before you were hired, was to put the, right here's the walking trail, to put either an orchard back here in A-Field 3 or in A-Field 2, and then the beehives were going to be right here. However, I really like the comment that was made before of putting
something in this space up here, we could. Is the beehives a necessity?
Do I have everything?
I know you have everything, but it's not a necessity.
But in all fairness, 67% of all beehives died last winter. 67% of all beehives, of commercial beehives, died. So to have, means two out of three died. So to have lost the bees was not.
So that was the one thing. The other thing that I actually built a prairie at my house, so I know what a successful prairie is and how much work it is. Were we actually going to do something with this prairie or just let it grow up in grasses? Were we going to go out there and till it down and put natural flowers in there and call it a prairie? Or is it going to be a CRP field? Just curious. Because there's
going to grow up in the weeds.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I guarantee it.
Yep.
Probably can't even get that there now.
Okay, so again, just proposing that. So there support for some type of an orchard, vineyard, slash community garden? Or is community garden separate than orchard, slash vineyard?
I think Stephen was right when he said that somebody will take care of it for a year or two.
So when you said orchards along the side of the front school, I'm going to caution very heavily. If there's orchard that goes in the front of the school off that side, it needs to be kept up pristine, because the first thing I don't want people coming to see our school is dead trees that are leaning over like this and grass. I will crush all that down in a second and throw it under.
And maybe it is the orchard might be two apples, two pears, two cherries, and two peaches.
Right, and I think there's places for that, but not in front of the school. All right. Somewhere may not seem because
the other one.
There's trees in that other one. There's one of the trees with baskets around it that tried to make it. And there was an orchard.
And there we go back to the point: is we have prairies have been established on these orchards have been established, but if you don't have a plan in place. And, or else, if you want to not have, if you want people to do this, or do you want to our grounds people to be gardeners? I'm speaking for you here, Stephen.
Why didn't you bring your dad to this meeting?
So literally, do we want to have an orchard? Do we want to have it? And if so, is there a spot that you want to put it?
I don't think they have.
We're not ready for that?
Who would put the orchard? My question is, who would do it and who would put the orchard? Are we looking at, like, the public to do it? Like, the public wants an orchard? Or is it the A-class wants an orchard? Like, who wants the orchard? I mean...
No one has come to me directly and asked me, like, hey, I'd be willing to work with you, put these in, I'd help you, I'd help teach the kids. No one has come to me personally. They've been brought up, I don't know, in the community, people have gone to other people, but no one has directly contacted me.
And
if that was the case, I'd be like, yes, let's put it in, you're committed to it, like, for instance, you can follow the example. I don't have any theory or anything. So if I had things to do with it, I would maintain it and do it myself. Personally, I don't have that type of equipment. Call my guy, okay? He donates above and beyond to help, you know, run that field and maintain it. No, he comes to me and helps me. No one in the community has done that. So.
And there have been, to be fair, there have been people who have offered to help build it. Planted, but the maintenance is the question. And until we have really a better answer on the maintenance, would you say until we have a better maintenance, no orchards going, unless or until you commit to helping not just plant it but to maintain it?
Orchards are worse than all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pruning itself.
Well, this is pruning, and then when you need to spray for bogs, and you need to do a knot, and you're going to have
okay,
bogs
so
up there.
Okay, so.
What about reaching out to people in the community, organizations?
We can do that.
Like,
but I'm saying this committee, until there is a, until the maintenance, until the maintenance.
That makes sense.
Issue is solved.
And I know there's different gardening clubs and different stuff like that. If they want to commit to it, hey, here's an opportunity, but it's your opportunity.
Okay. All right. So we have.
Even before planting, you should really test that soil before to find out if those trees will even be sustainable there.
Okay. And outdoor lab, school forest, keep for now. Okay, and solar field, and the next meeting date I would think would be to be determined.
Yeah.
You're coming about putting benches in like the hub area.
Yeah.
What if we just got a skid steer or something and terraced it?
Well,
or
yeah.
You could just mow it, where there's just little steps.
Yep.
It wouldn't cost a whole lot. The guy to the north said he has equipment. He would probably be willing to come and help.
And
that would be something where we could kind of test it out. Our teachers even could use it.
And see that I would include that in the some support for an outdoor lab shelter.
Yep.
And
have to provide gravel access to that area in case there's a medical emergency and you get EMS back there.
I think if you put it near track that goes around the outside. That track is wide enough, right, Troy, to drive a UTV?
Yeah, 6 feet wide, right? 5 feet.
Paul, how wide is that?
It's all of 6 feet. It's probably more like 8 to 10. And that does go right through that hub. So, and that's, it's all dry, firm base, because I think that was a gravel pit originally. That's why it's there.
That's what it kind of reminds me of, kind of the sand pit.
That's what it is. It was their
sand pit.
It was the farm. It was the fam farm sand pit. So I think we have. Thank you all, first of all, for taking the time and effort to come. It's good. Thank you for sitting for 2.5 hours through this stuff.
Well, I think we're finishing early. I told my wife don't plan for supper today. So yeah, no, thank you.
So with that news, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I got to run.
Yeah. Thank you.
Here, Troy, with a pen.
I think this was a really useful meeting. There was a lot of information brought forth. I think it helps.